This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
The following content is not suitable for children.
Let's talk about new moves.
Ooh, I like new moves.
All right. You know, the only way towards a positive cycle is to try something new.
Okay.
But the path towards trying something new requires, first of all, that you let go of the bad moves, the old moves, the survival moves. Mm. You can't just come up with new moves when you got all of that legacy kind of taking the space. Mm-hmm. So again, the first thing we're doing is trying to recognize the pursuit, the withdrawal, the negative cycles, what's not working, right? My anger's not working. Your going away is not working. So we got to start reducing those moves before we even come up with the new moves. But my experience, Lori, with so many couples is they understand what's not working, but they do not understand what they could do differently. Mm-hmm. And that's really going to be our goal today. What are the new moves?
Welcome to Foreplay Radio, Couples and Sex Therapy. I'm Lori Watson, your sex therapist.
And I'm George Fallon, your couples therapist.
And we are passionate about talking about sex and helping you develop a way to talk to each other.
Our mission is to help our audience develop a healthier relationship to sex that integrates the mind, the heart, and the body.
New moves. So I'm a pursuer. And let's say, I get escalated, get upset.
Every once in a while.
Does that ever happen?
Just a few times.
And, what do I do with all that upset so I calm down and then somehow or another know what to do? What's my new move?
Well, let's break this down into two parts. There's the new move that you need to do with your own emotions, and then there's the new move that you need to do with your partner. Right. Mm-hmm. So most of the time we talk about your new move, which is go to what's underneath the anger, the vulnerability, the hurt, the feeling unimportant, and talk about that because that's going to pull me towards you. Mm-hmm. And that's great. And we love that new move. But the moves we don't focus enough on are what are your new moves for me? How are you going to kind of recognize that my withdrawal, because I'm feeling threatened, like I'm failing? Like, that's important, and you want to be more proactive to help me with that, right? Those are new moves. Instead of being the trigger that I'm the failure, you get to be the superhero here who could reassure me, who could kind of help me, who could protect me, right? Those would be very different moves.
So I have to figure out me. That's my side of it.
That's your side of it.
But I also then eventually want to figure out what you need.
Exactly.
To give you what you need. Because you too, I have to believe, are escalated as well or have some emotional need. I have to kind of remember that, even especially as a withdrawer, if you don't show it. I have to kind of remember, this is typically what he says, and then give you some sort of reassurance or success in the place that I imagine you're failing.
Yes.
And I think that same thing with a withdrawer for a pursuer.
We'll get to that.
Wait, I want to get to that right now.
You want to get a little love.
That's
this
right.
is your chance to give a little love first.
I'll right? give love first.
So that's why it's so beautiful to listen to emotions. They not only tell us the problem, but they tell us the solution, what we need.
Okay.
So if my sense as a withdrawer is that I'm failing, and I'd rather go away with that feeling because I trust in my own ability to self-regulate, and it's in space and distance that I feel safer. Because if I stay in the relationship, I'm just going to get more messages that I'm failing, more growing emotion and anger, which doesn't work so well for me. So if we go to the heart of it, which is this message of failure, the opposite of failure is?
Success.
Success. So you being positive, you being affirming, you initiating messages of lightness, playfulness, that works a lot better for my nervous system, you know, for that trigger of failure. So that would be a new move if you're intentionally, you know, and pursuers try this stuff all the time. We're just, again, being more intentional. Yes,
we do.
I get it. I mean,
have tried.
But it's just nice to make the moves explicit.
Okay.
Right. Being positive, being light is good for withdrawers to want to engage.
Mm-hmm. Being light is good. So not so heavy, not so intense, not we got to have a talk.
Right. And that's also part of the new move is recognizing how sensitive your partner is to criticism.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, when they say, yeah, we went out to dinner and, you know, we had a great conversation for 2 hours, like that part of you that wants to say it was only an hour, right? And you were on your phone like that. And it comes from such a good place, but it kind of just hits that criticism trigger. Like, can you get better at not hitting that trigger?
Well, it comes from a needing place,
yeah.
Right? I want you to notice what was missing for me.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it comes from a good place. I don't know what you mean by that.
It comes from a good place in that there's a threat and your brain just sees a threat and wants to address it.
Okay.
Right.
Yeah,
so
that is
again,
good.
I'm being inaccurate about something. I'm not, you know, that those things become triggers for the pursuer. And we're going to talk about that. How do we help them and make them feel safe? But, you know, the more pursuers are doing their work of saying, damn, I am actually pretty good at being critical. Mm-hmm. It comes from this place of it's a threat when I see these things in my partner. But that awareness really starts to kind of create more safety. When a withdrawer sees the pursuer catching that criticism and owning the criticism, that like feels amazing. So when a pursuer says, wow, I just did it again, didn't I? I don't know why I needed to correct you just then, you know, but I'm sorry I did that. I know that doesn't sound, I mean, you see the withdrawer look like, what the heck is going on here?
Did I just correct you about what's good?
I
just needed to understand, George.
No.
I didn't mean to correct you. I just needed to understand.
I'm a recovering withdrawer, so I'm a little bit more resilient. My triggers are... But I think the most important is to learn how to be more actively fighting to comfort this place of failure, looking for opportunities. You know, they might be subtle. You might just see the withdrawer look down when they hear something, you know, and that pursuer's ability to say, did that just happen again? Right? If it did, I just want to let you know that I don't even want to say anything. I just want to give you a hug. I want to be the person that comes closer to you. And that's my real new move. The real new move is comfort, reassurance, and love in these places that are devoid of it.
Comfort, reassurance, and love in the places where the withdrawer doesn't feel loved.
Yes. They don't love themselves. They don't feel worthy of love. They just want to go away and ride out the storm.
Mm-hmm.
Just let the negative pass. It doesn't even occur to them that somebody should come and share in that with them. They're afraid if they share it, it's going to be used against them, right? So when pursuers start to like, this is really the time to keep your focus on the withdrawer. This isn't the time for you and your stuff. This is a time for you to kind of give a love and a attention to the withdrawer that they never really get before.
Mm-hmm.
That's a powerful new move. Being able to comfort and reassure in places of real darkness.
So can you give me an example of the withdrawer, just any scenario, and what I might say?
Yeah. You know, the withdrawer comes home, had a real rough day at work. You ask what's going on, and the withdrawer just says, you know, I don't even want to really talk about it. Mm-hmm. And they walk away. And you can see how easily that you're trying to connect, you're feeling rejected, how you could want to just get angry and critical and be like, you never want to talk about it. This is a problem. And now it's just added more weight to this withdrawal.
Sure. And that person is the highlight of my day.
Yeah.
And now I'm deprived of that.
Right. And again, it's a human thing. Your brain sees a threat in me walking away. It takes the bait and it just adds more criticism to already overwhelmed brain or the withdrawal.
Okay.
But again, if you're looking for that opportunity, you know it's likely to happen when your partner comes home and walks away. You know, a minute or two later coming in, who knows, maybe you have a drink or you just kind of pass, you know, like, hey, you know, I get why you just want to kind of check out. It's been a rough day. And I just want to let you know that I appreciate how hard you're working for us and the family. And if you want to talk about it, I don't have any answers here, but I don't want you to be alone in that place. And I just want to let you know I love you.
That feels so nice.
Right? How does a withdrawer not like that? It's not asking anything of the withdrawer. Mm-hmm. It's just trying to give.
It's offering practical comfort. I'm available. But you don't have to talk. Yeah. But also, I like that. You know, you don't have to be alone in it either. I don't want to leave you alone in it if you should ever choose to talk.
Yeah. And you're trying to hold on to, this isn't about me. My withdrawer is just doing what they've always done with emotion.
Yeah, you're depersonalizing it.
Yeah, they don't know really how to ask for help in this place. So I'm offering the help. But if you're offering the help, you can't get mad if they don't take it.
Mm.
Right? It's and that's the new move. It's saying, I want to help you because I love you. And, you know, but if you don't want that help, I get it.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That is a new move.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's beautiful.
So you think you can do that?
I think I can do that, sure.
So these new moves, and again, the pursuer's ability to talk about when the timing is right, this is all about timing, also needs to be able to talk about the wanting to talk and what when their partner walks away, how hurtful that is, right? To feel rejected, to feel not important, to feel invisible, to feel devalued, not being equal. There's a lot of vulnerability in that. That also is the new move, saying, hey, you might not recognize when you walk away because you're stressed out what that does to me, right? But it does send me to a bad place. And I'm not trying to tell you because I know that's not your intent. That's just the impact. Right, when
but
I'm
probably not the best timing to tell them while they're still in the withdrawn place, right? That's like a later conversation.
It's if you can think about the timing, that's a new move too. You know, you can't have both conversations at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You can't talk about your pain and I can't talk about me feeling like a failure and expect us to have success. We got to pick and choose who's sharing here. I always tell couples, who's the one initiating the conversation? Because if they're initiating, they got the ball, right?
Withdrawers initiate conversations?
Well, you know.
Okay, pursuer, go ahead.
If I'm a withdrawer and you're initiating a conversation, you say, hey, I want to talk about something. Like, you're the focus. I really want to understand, what is it? Why are you telling me something? You're looking for something emotionally. And then the second thing I tell couples, you know, the witness and partner that's listening, when you jump in and you make a comment, is it helping with that?
Or is it defensive or is your side of it?
Bringing it in a different direction. And I think what most couples start to quickly learn when they do this is most of the time when they jump in, it's not helpful.
Sure.
It brings it to a different direction. So when we come back, let's talk about the new moves of a withdrawer.
Okay.
For those desperately waiting pursuers.
Thank you. Hey, I just want to take a minute to thank our Patreon supporters. I am very grateful for what you've done, and we'd love to invite the rest of you in on our mission.
Your support means more than you realize, and it keeps this project moving forward, and we're really hoping to reach greater heights.
Find a link on foreplayradiosextherapy.com or foreplayrst.com, and we are so thankful for your support.
There is only one FDA-approved little pink pill. Addy, or flibanserin, is for premenopausal women bothered by low sex drive. Visit ADDYI.com/foreplay and complete your online consultation to see if Addy is right for you. Addy is for premenopausal women with acquired generalized hypoactive low sexual desire disorder, HSDD, who have not had problems with low sexual desire in the past and who have low sexual desire no matter the type of sexual activity, the situation, or the sexual partner. The low sexual desire is troubling to them and is not due to a medical or mental health problem, problems in the relationship, or medicine or other drug use. Addy is not for use in men or to enhance sexual performance. Your risk of severe low blood pressure and fainting is increased if you drink 1 to 2 standard alcoholic drinks close in time to your Addy dose. Wait at least 2 hours after drinking before taking Addy at bedtime. Your risk of severe low blood pressure and fainting is also increased if you take certain prescriptions, over-the-counter or herbal medications, or have liver problems. Low blood pressure and fainting can happen when you take Addy, even if you don't drink alcohol or take other medicines. Sleepiness, sometimes serious, can occur. Common side effects include dizziness, nausea, tiredness, difficulty falling asleep or staying asleep, and dry mouth. See full PI, including box warning, at Addy.com/PI or call 844-PINK-PILL. Visit ADDYI.com/foreplay.
Let's hear what the withdrawer is going to do for the pursuer. What's the new move, man?
I don't think I remember. I don't know, Lori. I'm sorry. I don't know.
I don't know. That's such a classic withdrawer move,
there
right?
There we go.
Give them space to think.
Safer. If I know
makes
and say it, I could
down.
Be wrong. Not knowing is a lot. I can't be wrong if I don't know.
That is so true. I don't want to say anything because any direction I go, I could get in trouble.
That's right.
Just better to not know.
So I think that's where we're going to start. The new move is two parts. The withdrawer has to be able to kind of come forward from themselves in a different way. Instead of hiding these places of feeling like a failure and just riding out the storm, they actually got to learn how to stand up and engage and assert themselves to say, wait a second, I deserve better than that, right? So that shift towards vulnerability, they're going to need success to do that, but that's their work. How do they deal and regulate their own emotions in a different way? That's the new move, to engage with their feelings instead of avoiding their feelings, right? Which we've talked a lot about. But I think how they can respond differently to the pursuer is what we're really trying to emphasize here today. What are those new moves, right? If you understand your partner is sensitive to the message of rejection, the basic new move of a withdrawer is to initiate, right? The more you initiate, the more you're proactive, the more you show your partner you're the one coming towards. That's just like so healing for pursuers to get that engagement. So to look for those opportunities, to build those opportunities into your schedule. You know, when you come home from work and you're waiting for your partner to check in and how's it going, instead of it being reactive, like beat them to the punch. Look for an opportunity, come through, say, you won't believe what just happened to you today. You initiate the conversation. So how does that sound?
That sounds lovely. I mean, even opening up about their life feels so good instead of having to probe and wonder and ask and, you know, be interested. It's like, hey, I'm important enough that they want to tell me about something that they're doing. And then maybe they ask too what I've been doing and act interested.
The key word right there, interested. Pursuers need, we all need it, but they're actually calling for, can you show interest? Can you be curious? Can you just give the space? Quality time is what they're longing for, right? So as withdrawers start to recognize this, they start, they can be more explicit to build that into their repertoire. Because they are very reactive people, right? And this is just that new move.
Who's very reactive? The pursuer is very reactive.
No, the withdrawer too. They're constantly scanning and waiting to follow. You know, are we in a good place? How are we doing? They're trying to take the temperature all the time and adjust to what's happening.
Yeah.
You know, but really the best new move is to proactively look for ways of protecting the pursuer from the rejection, right? If that's on my radar screen, if I know my partner, my wife is going to go to this place of not only feeling rejected, but not loving herself in that rejection, like, and that should impact me, I need to fight. I need to be more aware because I think so often the pursuer falls off the radar of a withdrawer. But when I start to really recognize the pain, that's not such an option anymore. Now I'm looking for chances to show you. So again, it's part of that proactive. You know, if, imagine what it'd be like instead of you having to have the burden to come to me to bring up the conversation. If I was able to say, wow, you know, last night I was in such a rush. You know, when I'm in a rush, I just kind of, did that send you to that place? You know, that, you know, it felt like I wasn't interested. I didn't care because you know what? I don't want to do that. And if that happens, I really want to be able to talk to you because I don't want you to be alone in that place. I don't want you to face that on your own. You know, so if it happens, let me know because I can handle it. I'll put aside the time. I'll make sure I'm there for you. What do you think that would be like for you?
That'd be amazing. That'd be amazing.
Look at a big smile on your face. That's nice to see.
Because I'm never in a rush with you, George.
There you go.
It would be good. It'd be really good.
It's changing the anxiety of I don't want to do something wrong and seeing the opportunity to actually get it right in a way no one usually can get it right for that pursuer. That's the proactive fighting for. I want to be the champion of your rejection. Mm-hmm. I want to intimately get to know the triggers that send you there and how I can learn to come to you there with comfort, reassurance, and love, right? That's the antidote to rejection, to be chosen, to be wanted, right? So again, I'm looking for opportunities to give you that. I'm not just a victim to your triggers, you know, because it comes across as critical or angry. I can actually know what's underneath it and proactively nip it in a bud, right? So if I'm choosing you, I'm showing you interest, I'm seeing you, hearing you, listening. These are all love music of a pursuer.
Right. Right. Just the initiation of talking about something that you imagine might be difficult for me. That's amazing. Bringing it up. That'd be great.
Bringing it up. And not just bringing it up in a tentative way, but bringing it up in a more decisive way that says,
intentionally.
This is not rocket science. I know you. I know what you need.
Yep.
Right. And here it is.
It's good.
So when couples become clearer around new moves, that's very empowering. It's not a just, I don't want to be critical or I don't want to just walk away. That's a good start. Mm-hmm. But if you're not going to walk away, you got to actually know what you're going to do when you come forward.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You need to know how to be a protector, to be an initiator, like to develop those skills.
Yeah. And I think you were saying not in a tentative way, but bringing it forward with some intention to kind of explore what's happening and to offer comfort and choosing that person. I mean, that's amazing. You know, I would even take the tentative way.
Yeah, no, it's got to start off with you tentative. Know, you're not going to be confident out of the gate, right?
Exactly. I don't think it has to be that way.
But you need a target. Like, I got to have a target. I am going to be tentative. I don't really want to come forward. I spent my whole lifetime going away, but I'm getting clear. I know the solution to rejection is an active participant who really engages with that passion and desire. Like, mm-hmm. I got to, even if you're making like a movie in your tape, like, what would you look like? Could you fast forward a year, however long it takes you to get to that mm-hmm. place? But when people get clearer on what it looks like, you have a better chance of reaching it. So many of the couples I work with, they have no idea on what it is going to look differently.
Yep. I know that for me, like, there is a point, say, in a friendship, you know, where I get to click and then I'm good.
Mm-hmm.
You know, then I have all the grace in the world. It's like, I don't, there are people that, you know, like my bestie, but that's probably an over example, but she, you know, if she doesn't get back to me, I don't torture myself
mm-hmm.
and say, what's going on with Tara? Why isn't she not getting back to me? Maybe she hates me. Maybe, you know, nothing. I'm completely secure. And even in relatively new friendships, there's sort of a point where I give all that up. It, you know, I don't feel that. I think that that's what is needed. That's the vision.
Mm-hmm.
Like going to the pursuer, like understanding them, understanding what's happening. They do reach some security where they're no longer critical or neurotic, and then life is better for both people.
Such a fantastic example. And I invite all our listeners to come up with examples of relationships where it's working.
Mm-hmm.
What are they doing? They're doing precisely this. Trust isn't a decision. It's earned. It's earned through experience. So your friend, you know, has probably a good reason. And when you do hear from her again, you're probably going to hear it. Mm-hmm. And she's going to say, hey, Lori, I'm so sorry I didn't get a chance to get back. It's crazy thing happened at work. And, you know, but I really missed you. And like, and boom, she shows the opposite of rejection. She shows she wants you. She's interested in you. She's engaged with you.
Right.
And then your body's like, it trusts that is coming for you.
Yes. Yes.
Right? You're not expecting her not to engage, to get defensive, to do all the moves that fall,
absolutely,
that happen with a negative cycle.
Absolutely. I don't even spend a minute worrying about it.
And it's because she's an expert at responding to you.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we're trying to get people clearer about on these new moves. There are really concrete things that you can do that build trust and muscle memory that make that other person's nervous system give you the benefit of the doubt.
Mm-hmm.
That's the natural byproduct of trust.
Yeah, that's what we want people to feel with each other, you know, that they are confident and it changes everything.
It changes everything.
Yeah. Don't have to be critical about your partner going away if you know they have good reason to and you trust the relationship.
Yep.
It's fine.
This is a great conversation for couples listening to have. Sit down and say, what is it? What are my new moves? You probably know the new moves you want to give your partner to do, right? But you need to own what is your new move. That's empowering. Mm-hmm. You're not helpless victims to this negative cycle. There are things you can do. You can't control if your partner's going to do it or not, but you can control your new move. So let's get that list out. Let's write some things down and let it rip.
So the pursuer's new move is to be positive with their partner and maybe reassure them that it's okay, whatever they're going through, you know, to be there present without pressure, to offer comfort, and just to be patient with them in
Beautiful.
Your spirit.
To be the champion of the place of failure.
Okay.
To look for opportunities, to bring love into a place that never gets it. What are the withdrawer's new move for the pursuers?
So the withdrawer needs to initiate, bring it forward. Same with the sexual withdrawer, I might add, just throwing that in.
Yeah.
Initiating sex, being proactive and being intentional. That would make us pursuers feel really good.
Beautiful. And the opposite of rejection is to be chosen. That's why this initiation is so powerful for them.
Mm-hmm.
So go forth, practice new moves.
Thanks for listening.
Keep it hot.
Call in your questions to the 4Play question voicemail. Dial 833-MY-4Play. That's 833-MY, the number 4, play. And we'll use the questions for our mailbag episodes. All content is for entertainment purposes only and should not be considered as a substitute for therapy by a licensed clinician or as medical advice from a doctor. This podcast is copyrighted by 4Play Media.